I've called this bruised but not broken. But let me read from verse 18 to verse 20. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved one, through my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and I will proclaim, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. And he will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will put their hope. Something about this verse that attracts me to it. All week long as I was going over this and reading it again and just picking up on about the nature of Jesus is, what he's like. He's gentle. He's tender. And those qualities are so attractive. Just amazingly attractive. This is someone who doesn't quarrel. He doesn't raise his voice in the streets. He could, and someday he will. But for this moment, gentle Jesus, that picture we have, he is gentle. Wonderfully so. A bruised reed. So just picture it. He said it won't break. He'll put no pressure. He'll put no onus on us. That will not break. He will not break it. And a smoldering wick, picture that, blowing that out. He will not quench until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Well, we put our hope in the Lord. But this is the Lord that we came to. This is the one that came to set us free. And he's so gentle that we can bring people, and we need, you know, where Jesus is not going to beat them up. He's not going to come to throw us into hell. No, he came to save us from hell. He came gently. He came to speak to us and come overwhelm us with his love and his care and his joy. How wonderful. And so there's the gentleness of Jesus. I think of Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs. Yeah, he carried them. How good is that? And he carried our sorrows. This is the one we follow. This gentle Savior who he wouldn't harm. He'd bring no harm. He's not going to order someone to be killed. It's different. It's different. When you come to the different verses, they just reek of this gentleness of Jesus. And I know that when we present at Alpha, when we present what do we ask? Who is Jesus? And what has he come to do? And we're able to say, oh, you'll love him when you meet him. Why? Well, he's so gentle. So unbelievably gentle. A bruised reed, a smoldering flax. He said, don't worry. He won't break that. See, isn't that a great picture? But he won't break that. And you can, so many verses, I didn't include them all. But that's the gentleness of our Lord. And I'm always touched when I read something like that. Number two, he's our, not only our a gentle Lord, but he's a tender Lord. Isaiah chapter 61, 1 to 3. Good news to the poor. That's who he's thinking about. Bind up the brokenhearted. Isn't that what we see our job here? Somehow, as people who live in this community, we present Christ to a dying community, but he has come to bind up the brokenhearted. He hasn't come to squash them. He hasn't come to overwhelm them or frighten them. He's not a Savior who frightens you. He's a Savior that we approach and we say, I feel safe around you, Jesus. I feel I'm not worried what's going to happen to me. I always say, well, I know what's going to happen to you, something good. He's a good Savior, gentle, kind in every way. And he binds up the brokenhearted. And isn't that how you came? Kicked around, all types of problems in your life and hang-ups, hurts, as we used to say. It's true. So we proclaim liberty to the captives. That's our liberty, to be set free. Comfort. This is the Lord that provides that comfort. Those that are bound. Well, there's all kinds of people who are bound. And we bring them to Jesus. And it doesn't matter where they've been. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter how they smell. It doesn't matter how messed up they make. You have not messed up too much that Jesus won't come to you. And he will come to you. And he will not condemn you. This is the hour. There's another hour coming. But this hour, we bring them to the Lord. And he's there to heal them, restore them, to love them, not to frighten them away. That's why Jesus picks up children. We say, all right, if that's what he did, if he picked up children and they weren't afraid of him, he didn't frighten them in any way, then perhaps that person would say, I can come. And when we bring people and people say, I'm not sure about giving my life over to Jesus, especially during the Alpha emphasis, and we say, well, you don't worry about that. He won't force you. He won't coerce you. He'll simply say, come to me. And we have this opportunity at any time to come to a Savior that has paid the price. He's done everything that needs to be done. And he is our Savior, our tender, gentle Savior. That's what he's like. That's what he looks like. And I have no problem presenting him around a coffee table. Do you? I don't, in a restaurant, to say, let me tell you, what do you know about Jesus? I don't know anything about Jesus. Would you like to hear about him? Let me tell you about him. And then you start telling people about this, what he's like. And he's so appealing, so wonderfully open to us that we come. And you remember the different ones in the Bible, they were afraid to approach him. And one woman touches the hem of, if I just touch his garment, I don't even need to touch him. All of, just touch his garment. And he reaches and he says, who touched me? He didn't say, because then she was afraid. She was afraid. But she need not have been, because she touched Jesus. And that Lord turned and he said, virtue had left me when you touched me. Wow. How incredible good is that? Number three. Then there's the seeking and saving part of this. Matthew 19:9. What did he come to do? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He's been searching for you. If you don't know him just yet, he's been searching for you. Why? To seek and to save you. He's the hound of heaven. He's the one that pads after us, wrecking our picnics and messing up our lives, as it were. Boy, Jesus, when he comes into a scene, he may be gentle, but he's disruptive. When you come to him, things change. People say, boy, I'll tell you, my life was going along, and all of a sudden I invited Jesus in, and now he's disrupted me. Yes, he has a tendency to do that, but never to harm us. He's Aslan, but we're not to be afraid of him. And indeed, we're not afraid of him. We can come because he came to seek. I'm one of the reasons why he came. You are the other reason. We are here because a gentle Savior wanted to save us. It wasn't just us who wanted to be saved. He was the one who wanted you to be saved and wanted me to be saved. And so we were thinking we had it all together. We found out we don't have it all together, but we come to the one who does have it all together. And I'm glad I don't have to bring him to the church, although we've all done that. It's not so important that they get to the church. It's absolutely important that they get to Jesus, that they come to him and experience forgiveness and joy and happiness. And my observation is that I just wonder what would people do who don't know him? Don't you ever ask that question? What do people do? What do they turn to? What is their solace? What brings them comfort? What brings them peace when there's frightening things around them? I guess partly they're over here across the street. That's one way, right? That's one way. And there's other ways. We've heard about addiction here this morning. Yeah, that's another way. We turn to those things, but really, it's Jesus that if somebody comes and say, I got these colossal problems, and they start listing off the problem. Richard, remember you telling me that story about Art Shepherd, that this person came to Art and said, I got all these problems and I don't know what to do. And Art just stopped, put his hand up and said, and he was an evangelist and pastor, and he put his hand and said, stop, it's no sense you telling me because I can't even solve the first one you told me. So we might as well just come to Jesus together. Because if you're coming to me to heal, to bring this, he said, it's not going to happen. But I'd be glad to pray alongside of you and to come to Jesus. He's the one. Some people have so many situations in their life going on, there's nothing that, and if we're honest, we know that, say, I'm not going to be able to cure this for this person. I feel so helpless. And don't we often feel helpless? Because we want to see them get help, but we don't know all that's involved in that. And so we bring them to the Lord, because if it's going to be him, it's not going to be you or me, the one who changes hearts and direction and so many beautiful things. But he came to seek and save that which was lost. Wow. Number four, he's the one who helps, the helper. Fear not, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. There, that's the phrase I want. Yes, you are. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll help you. Wow. That's what he'll do. And it's repeated over. There's a number of verses. It said, I have come to help you. Not to hurt you, not to destroy you, not to overwhelm you. I am the Lord your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I can say, as you probably can say, that the Lord has been our helper, oh, down through the ages, down through my whole life of serving Jesus. He has come. And I can say with the writer, had it not been for the Lord, let Israel say, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord. He said, and he's the one who's come to help us. And don't we need it? How often we need to come to him? It's just constant. If he ever picked this up, it'd be kind of discouraging, wouldn't it? If he said, you again? Didn't I already help you? How many times are you going to come? No, he doesn't do that. He said, I just come to help you. A Savior that helps people. That's got to be a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. It's a Savior who will reach down and go the distance and seek and save and not to condemn us. That reed will not break and that flax will not burn. It won't be because of Jesus. I've come to help you. Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord, your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. Yes. I'll just pause to say this. Many times I've been in a situation where we could feel basically demonic darkness. And we all knew the atmosphere changed. And we knew that we were dealing with something something serious that was beyond us. I don't know how I'll describe this. But in that setting, Jesus comes to us and we say, Lord, let's just bow our hearts. Let's just pray here. We just take authority here. And we bow our head and our hands and hold joining hands together and just thanking for the Lord, for Jesus to come and usurp his powerful presence. Because you know that once the presence of Jesus fills that room, that we're gonna do fine. It's gonna be okay. It is I who say to you, fear not. Whatever, it doesn't matter what the atmosphere is, as long as we invite Jesus to it, as he puts forth his hand. Fear not. I am the one, and here's what the verse is from Isaiah 41:13. I am the one who helps you. I'm on your side. This is a God who's on our side. Could it get any better than that? What side are you on, Lord? You're on our side. A Savior that came to help us out. Oh, more than to help us out, came to take over. Came to surround us. Came to watch over us. Came to provide for us. And we needed it. I need it. There's not a day that goes by that I haven't found a sense of need that I need to pray or need to surrender just to draw near to the Lord. And because he's going to be the best thing that happens all that day. In verse 14, in Isaiah 41:14, it says again, I am the one who helps you. That's his promise. And I know when I've said to somebody, should we come to the Lord? Should we just draw near? We could do that. Would you like to pray with me? And it's funny how people hesitate. For me, it's, are you kidding me? Start praying. If you're willing to pray. But they hesitate. And is it down to this already? Are we down to this far down that we have to pray? I said, no, we're this far down because we're so desperate. We need a Savior to help us. What one would that be? That would be the Lord Jesus, who says and declares, I am the one who helps you, your helper, your supporter, the one who comes near to us. And I think, you know, we could, if we started a new religion, it would be okay to start a new religion if we were going to do that. But there's only one thing we have to do. Let's get someone who's going to rise from the dead first. Make it a little easier. And we realize, Jesus, that's how wonderful. He comes. He just automatically comes when we invite him. And if we were starting something new, I'd have to start with the Savior who gave his life and rose from the dead. He's alive, and he's able to help us. He's able. We used to sing that, I know the Lord is able. Able to deliver, able to care, able to stretch forth, able to flee demons. That's the one that we come to. Number five, verse five, the wounded and the broken. Yeah. In a culture like ours, it's becoming more addicted. We find out that there's many, many people who are wounded and broken. Not all outwardly so much, sometimes inwardly. But nevertheless, and so what is Psalm 147, verse 3? This is pure gold. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted. He heals the broken. If you underline your Bible, underline that. Mine's underlined. Because I want to have that close to my heart. Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The one, well, you can't, all you can do is enjoy it, and all you can do is know that as you fortify yourself for the ministry, as God's raising you up, raising me up, he's raising us up to do purpose exploits for God, and spiritual warfare is going on. We're claiming things for Jesus because we know that there's no other answer. And it'll be the same this with the crusade coming up in, is it March, February, March? The Festival of Hope, and Dr. Graham, and you know, and I know, if Jesus doesn't show up at this, there won't be. It'll just be meetings. And so that's why the prayer emphasis, and that's why we're praying for Alpha, because whoever come, we're believing that somehow that they will experience Him. Which one? The wounded one, the broken one. And that when people come for the meal and they watch the video and they enjoy the joke and all of that, it's leading to something that somehow they would experience what abundant life is like as the one who comes to heal the brokenhearted. So many brokenhearted people, isn't there? So many. And the more you get to see, it doesn't seem like not any of us have any problems initially. We look, you know, like this morning, you look pretty good. But once we talked and shared, we'd find out that there's despair here, there's discouragement there. Wouldn't we? Yes, we would. And that's okay, because we're coming to a Lord who does not mind you coming. Say, well, I'm a little messed up. And? Tell us something we don't know. You can tell us about all your endless victories. Oh, you don't have any. I know you don't. We're not telling you. We're just saying, come. Just come. He's the one, number six, he's the one who gives you rest. Have you finished striving yet? Have you finished feverishly working to try to get something happening in your life? Well, come to the one who gives you rest and binds up their wounds. How beautiful. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over and over and over again. Somebody just say, oh my goodness, they didn't seem they would ever change, and they're changed. It's quite remarkable. It's quite wonderful. And it's just because he's the Savior that does that. Never be afraid to tell somebody about Jesus, because he does not fail. He comes through. He's a Savior that comes. Religious institutions don't come through, but Jesus comes through. And as you start seeing how he works, he really has come to give us rest and bind up all of our wounds. And we come. And so that's why there's a lot of baggage with people. When they come to a Christian community, somebody says, they seem to have a lot of issues. I said, yeah, but everybody does. We've got a church through full of people who have issues, right? That's how it is. And if you don't see why Jesus, if you don't see that, then I think it'll be very frustrating. But I'm convinced that the Lord has come to help. He's on our side. And he's the kind of a God that he will not harm you. And he tells us in only the best of graphics of just saying the flax burning, snuffed out, and the brokenness. And Jesus just comes to bring healing. Instantly, not always, sometimes. Not always. For some of you, it's been a process. You've had some ups and downs. And what is Jesus' attitude towards that is, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. You're not done yet. So not to be discouraged. The process goes on. I hope to have grown this next year. So just because we're in leadership doesn't mean that we don't need to come to the Lord. And he brings further healing and insight. And you see something, you say, wow, I didn't see that before. I can see an area of your life that needs further healing. And we pray for each other. We lay hands on one another. We encourage one another, because that's what we do. Because we know that it's going to be a good thing when they come to the Lord. And then lastly, in Matthew 11, 28 to 20, he's the one who gives you rest. This is wonderful, wonderful stuff. The one who gives you rest. And so he says, these are the words of our Lord. He says, come to me, okay, all you who labor and are heavy laden. It could be burnout of some kind. It could be that you are overwhelmed with what you have to face in your family. Maybe there's huge decisions. And so he said, come all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you burnout. No. That would be terrible. I remember seeing a cartoon in Leadership magazine where the fellow, he's standing beside his car, and he's got four flat tires. And he's saying, why? Why me, God? Why me? And the caption underneath said, because you're such a nerd. That was the Lord answering back. But he doesn't. When we say, why me? Because you're an idiot, you know. No, he doesn't. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Wow. That's the Savior. And if you're in whatever valley you're in, whatever you're facing, be absolutely assured of this. He will make himself real to you. He will help you. I have never seen anybody who came, and they might have been already believers, but they came and they embraced this whole thought of take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am, here it is again, what is he? Gentle. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yeah. I've told this story here 100 times, and I'll probably tell it another 100 before we're out of here. Caroline Jackson is here, and she blew me away one morning, many mornings, but this one in particular. And she said, Pastor Owen, I thought you might find this interesting. What would be interesting? Do you remember this, Caroline? He said that the Lord is my shepherd. She said, I read that, but she said I hadn't personalized it. The Lord is my shepherd, not just not just the, but he's my shepherd. Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever seen that before? I said, I don't know if I've ever seen that. It's really personal. The Lord is my shepherd. And we mused on that together, and I thought that was kind of the end of it. Except later in the same day, we get this call from Burnaby Hospital that somebody is in the unit there that is in a coma and can't talk or can't respond. It was the mother of the family. And so they wondered if somebody could come and pray. Well, I'm going up to that hospital, and I get in there, and I realize it was just, oh. So I thought, how am I going to do this to pray? Because they're going to think I'm trying to wrench a confession out of them or something. So I got in there, and I pulled the curtain around, and I didn't know what to say, because she can't talk. So I, hello, I'll call her Mrs. Jones. Hello, Mrs. Jones. I'm a pastor, and so, I mean, just the whole thing sounded kind of ridiculous. I'm a pastor, and I've come to pray for you. I realized that I'm the only one talking. I said, so why don't I just take your hand? Surely we got something more substantial than I'm thinking inside. And what Caroline shared with me earlier that day came, she said, tell her about the personal shepherd. I said, you know the shepherd in Psalm 23, and I went through the first one, Psalm 23. I said, you can just reach out to him. He's personal. And you can squeeze my hand if you want, then I'll know. Well, she didn't squeeze my hand, so I don't know whether she heard what she heard or not. But I said, if you would like the shepherd to be near to you. Oh, I know what the family said. She's deathly afraid of dying. She had a fear of dying, an awful fear of dying. I said, you don't have to be afraid. I said, he's here. And he's not just a shepherd. He's your shepherd. Would you like to make him your shepherd? Would you like to open your heart? And I'm praying that. You can open. Why don't you open your heart? And I'll open my heart. And we will just thank the Lord for being our shepherd. You need a shepherd. Right now, you really need a shepherd. So I prayed. And I pulled the curtain back. And I went, all of a sudden, I hear this. Just a minute. I said, oh, no. This isn't going to go well. Somebody squealed on me here. He said, just a minute. Come here, please. So I go over there, and these two big guys, they're brothers, and they're crying. And they said, would you come? And would you come down to our room here and pray for my mom? She's unconscious too. And she can't respond. And she's really scared. I thought, boy. So I said, well, come on, join hands. There we are in this little cove. And we prayed again. Basically, I know you can take up your time here. Just we prayed again. Thank you, Lord, that this is not just a shepherd. It's your personal shepherd. It's my shepherd. He cares about me, and he's watching over me. And I prayed her through the sinner's prayer and a few other prayers. And they thank me profusely. Just they're drenched in tears. So I go out of the. So this is a very good morning for it's good stuff for a pastor. And so I'm going out of there. Well, what do you have to do around here to get prayer? It's a lady sitting down at the far end. I said, excuse me, get down here. And so she got, well, what are you going to, aren't you going to pray? I said, you want prayer? Well, what do you think I called you for? She's kind of bawling me out, right? I said, you'd like prayer? Of course I'd like prayer. How come they got prayer? They got prayer. Everybody in the room got prayer, but I didn't get any prayer. Do I have to be unconscious to get some prayer? She's the only conscious person. I said, I'd be glad to pray about, I said, I was praying about, I heard what you were praying about. You're talking about the personal shepherd. Yeah. And so we prayed yet again. And then I flew home. Because that was a good morning. But you see, the point is, though, it was like that was the living word that she gave to my heart. A revelation. Right? I think maybe this is how this has to be really. It's always a revelation. It's a revealing. And that when you see that this is the Lord your shepherd, who says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart, you'll find rest for your souls. And I trust that somehow we'll be in heaven and we'll say, do you remember that? Oh, it was you. Because you just love to hear that there was an ending to that that was Christ-like. For my yoke is easy. Yeah. And so it's easy even to that person who is terrified. We're going to invite Jesus to come and take away your fear and give you rest and peace. See, we can do, I just had to do it just for just one person, but I'm sure that could be done in a different way, different, just all kinds of different ways. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I give you rest. Yeah. That's the Savior that we serve. That's the one we present. The one who helps us. But the one who will not, and I let me read it right off the page here. A bruised reed, right, we picture that in your mind, he will not break. Why would he tell it? That's told twice, by the way. It's also in Isaiah and in Matthew. A bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick. I'm not sure all of meaning of what that is. He will not quench until he brings. Now, I think it is saying there is a moment now when this is the Lord, he comes to you. He comforts and gives you peace and gives you direction and puts his arms around you. That's the hour we're in. Another hour is coming when he is not the gentle person. He's the one who comes to bring justice to the whole world. And so the day will come when he comes riding on the white horse. I love that imagery. He's riding on the white horse, and on the side of the horse is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now he's not the gentle Lord who deals with bruised things. He comes to settle scores. That his enemies will be crushed under his feet. He's not, kind of a silly little guy that can't bring forth the reality. No, he's not that way. He'll come thundering. And I'm glad. I'm glad. But for this hour that we live in, he comes to us harmless, open. Someone who wants to come and touch you on the deepest level of your heart. And I don't know. I find that when we come to the Lord, I know for some people it's really discouraging for them because they feel that they're not worthy to come to the Lord. And you may be here this morning. We're going to wrap it up here, but you may be here this morning. Now you say, I don't come to Jesus that easy. It seems like I'm not one of his favorites, but you are. You are one of his favorites. It's just how it is. I can assure you of that. and you come to him. Don't be afraid to come. You say, well, I feel kind of unworthy. I don't, you know, I'm living in all this victory. No, don't worry about how much victory. Just come. Let him touch you where you need to be touched, even today, let alone down through in the days ahead. Just come and watch what he will do. And he comes to you and he just loves on you and loves on me. Because this is a personal thing that I have going with Jesus. And it's a personal thing that Val has going. And it's a personal thing that you've got going. It's a personal thing. Someday, as I say, it won't be. It'll be the thunder of his hoofs. But today, he's putting his arms around us and he's telling us that he loves us, cares for us. It's the Savior we present just by our lifestyle. What is he like? You know, there are people. Carrie was telling me one time that she said in China, there are people that have never heard the name. They don't know. The government doesn't ever allow it. She said, I didn't know much about Christianity and didn't know much about Jesus. And I thought, wow. Imagine, no, you never met him, never heard anybody talk. When nobody taught on it, wasn't allowed. Grow in some you know, distant place, and you haven't heard. You haven't heard about this resurrected Christ, who's come. No, never heard. And there's places around the world and have never heard the name of Jesus. Imagine. So what would you tell them? He's unbelievable. He's risen from the dead. He's a Savior who will come and save you. Yes, I think that's what we approach it. It's very wonderful. You can spend your life passing this on to other people. I think I think we're, if anything, at this stage now, we are introducers. The thing you spend your time doing from now till the hoof comes and the horse comes, the white horse. We're introducers, introducing people to what the possibilities could be if they opened their heart to Jesus. And don't you think that would keep us going for a long time? That here we are, spending this time together, and next week we'll meet again, and we'll meet in small groups, and all the good things that happen in these things. And we talk about the Lord and the best way to introduce him. Because whatever we do, we don't want to misrepresent him. Right? He comes to us and we say, I want to get this right, that I'm proclaiming the Jesus of the Bible is the one who comes to set captives free and to draw near and heal us. And he won't hurt us, but he'll come and heal you. So let's stand together. We've had communion, so it's a little tight on the hour here, but let me ask you a question as we close. What, you don't have to answer it out loud, but what do you need? Well, maybe the first question is, why have you come? And the second thing is, what do you need? What do you need? You've come to church. What do you need? Because we're going to be dismissed in a few moments. And we ask the question, number one, why have you come? You came for a reason this morning. What was that reason again? And secondly, what do you need? Because he's stretching forth his hand to you. It's not just going through meetings. It's meeting the Lord. Do you need salvation? Last week, somebody gave their heart to the Lord. Came rushing up to me on the patio and said, I opened my heart to the Lord. I was kind of cool on the God thing, but I didn't really care much for Jesus. But I just sealed it here last Sunday morning. I know, it's wonderful. So she needed salvation. But maybe you need something else. And so just as I lead us in closing prayer, whatever you need, he's for you. He loves you. He'll never hurt you. He invites you to come. All you labor heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Wow. So you can just in your heart, but you've come for a reason. Don't go home without that reason. He invites you to come to meet your needs as only he can. You probably have some here that you need miracles. And I believe that he's the miracle worker. So as I lead us in a prayer, just pray in your heart, pray in your head. It doesn't matter. The Lord will work that out. But if you're here and you need him, you probably don't need another church meeting, but you do need him. We thank you, Lord, that you are not just a shepherd. You are my shepherd. What a wonderful thought. Lord, even in the midst of that, I thank you it's true about Caroline. And I pray that you would touch her this morning. She stands in need. We thank you for her lovely heart. And we pray you'll encourage her today. Lord, thank you that as she sits here today and she heads to her home, I just pray, God, go before her and bring all that she needs to her body. You are the great physician. Touch Caroline. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we present the Alpha message to the North Shore, I'm grateful that we can present you. We don't need to be afraid or ashamed. You are the best. And I pray your blessing on every person here today. Whatever and bless them in their, as they've come in, bless them in their going out. Make them a blessing. I pray, God, we'll be introducers all this week, just gently pointing people to the message of the cross. So here we are. We give ourselves to you, and we thank you for this lovely day and our chance to be together. Lord, this is just great to be together. Thank you for Valley Church. Thank you for all the people that call this home. And we pray that we'll be exploding with your love. And we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated and dismissed. It's just, you've still got some time that I didn't steal from you. So thank you for being here this morning. Join us on the patio. It's a beautiful day. Thank you.